Hello everyone, this is your host Raymart and welcome to the Pentecostal Pen Podcast, engaging Christians to reach out, make disciples, and lead for the cause of Jesus Christ. For this month's episode, we have Paul Thornton with us, and he's going to be teaching on the importance of making disciples. Paul is a church planter in Quispamsis, New Brunswick, Canada, and he is the former youth president of the Atlantic District United Pentecostal Church International. I hope you will be blessed by the short lesson and enjoy.
Hey everyone, I want to thank you for taking the time to watch this video on the really important topic of disciple making. And I want to thank Raymar for reaching out to me and inviting me to just share a few comments and maybe some insight on this really important topic in Scripture, one that's very close to the heart of Christ and really that should be the part of our everyday lifestyle, making disciples. And I'm thankful for examples in my life who are disciple makers. And my father in the gospel, the one who I would say discipled me the most and to whom I look up to even to this day is Pastor Terry Brewer. He is my mentor, my pastor, and whom I love dearly. And it's for disciple makers like him that I'm here today and able to share this with you. So disciple making is a very important eternal practice. And the go-to verse of scripture we find in the Bible is found in Matthew chapter 28:19. And it's in the close of the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus gives the direction. He tells his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. And disciple making is such a privilege that we're able to even be involved in the process of helping shape someone's life for the kingdom of God and make them grow in their salvation experience and ultimately watch them make disciples of their own. So in aside of the fulfillment of our own salvation experience, there's nothing as fulfilling as walking with someone through the plan of salvation. When they're introduced to Christ, experiencing the new birth, and you baptize them and you see them receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then you begin to watch them pattern their life after the Word of God. You're able to see them come from a very undeveloped, you know, state where they didn't maybe believe in God or knew who God was or is and didn't know the Bible really existed and what it was about. When you take someone who's raw and unchurched and unchristian like that and you pray with them and you get a relationship with them and you see them transition from that state of being lost and that state of carnality and you watch the love in the mercy of God, reach into their life and transform them into someone to his kingdom who's born again of water and spirit and has become a part of the family of God and now themselves are making disciples. There really is no other source of joy like that in your salvation experience besides that of your own. One of the most powerful things about seeing someone come to God who you've reached is it has a tendency to relive that moment for you. Sometimes we forget what Christ did for us. We forget how lost we were. We forget about maybe our own issues and what kept us from coming to church or things that hung us up. And when you bring someone through their struggle and you bring them through all the tangled mess of their life and you watch God do things in their life, it has a way of kind of throwing you back to when you were first born into the kingdom of God. And it gives this fresh sense of appreciation, and you just want to repeat the process. And it's a beautiful experience, and I would challenge anyone to take on the beautiful task of being a disciple maker. And if you're watching this little video tonight, I would assume that you would call yourself a fellow Christian or a follower of Christ or a disciple. And if that's the case, you've probably looked into what makes someone a follower of Christ, or you looked into what makes somebody a disciple. And maybe you've done the checklist that we've all done in our lives. You've repented of your sins, check. You've been baptized in Jesus' name, check. You've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, check. You give to your church faithfully, check. You have a pastor and a church family, check. You read your Bible and you pray every day, check. And there's still one more box that needs to be checked off that list, and that is disciple making. Hopefully you check that box off because that is a very important part of our Christian walk with Jesus Christ. Many times we leave disciple making up to the ministry or pastor or youth pastor, or we feel it's a better fit for someone who's outspoken or more outgoing and has a very attractive personality. Maybe you think that somebody has to be super popular or a high-level influencer to be a disciple maker. All of those, yeah, they are great qualities to have, and they may assist someone in being a disciple maker, but you and I, we can't really create excuses as to why we can't reach into someone's life and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now I get some personalities, they seem to be more open to sharing the gospel, and crowds and people don't bother them and they're outgoing, and that can be a strength for them. But don't shortchange yourself if you feel that you don't have that quality. That may be what assists them, but you can have the assistance, and you do have the assistance of the Spirit of God in your corner, giving you the understanding, giving you the anointing, giving you the encouragement you need to disciple someone and to reach into their life and allow them to be touched by His presence. So don't feel you don't have what it takes. God's given you what it takes: His presence, His word, and hopefully a burden for the lost. Whether you know it or not, your life has influence in someone else's life. And that's something very important to understand. It would be incredibly ignorant to think that you don't impact someone's life. It would be foolish to consider the fact that you don't play a part in inspiring someone, helping them, motivating them. Every single person, whether it's a family member or a friend, we play the part in inspiring to some degree another person. What you do impacts the world. It impacts someone's world. Don't think for one moment that what you do has little effect on someone else. Your life is impacting someone or some people for better or maybe for the worse, but you are having an impact upon someone. You may get hung up on this fact. What is making a disciple? What does discipling even mean? To break it down a bit, you're teaching someone, you're teaching anyone, you're teaching them the why of your life. Get that? You're teaching them the why of your life. You're not simply showing them the why. Now, I'll break it down a bit further for you. Discipling people, it absolutely includes and involves modeling our faith in godliness, in our actions, in our conversation, in our behavior. It's very important that when we live our lives, our actions and our words, that they align. So many people, they extinguish a very fiery testimony because what they're doing does not line up with what they're saying. You have to model your faith. It'll prompt people to ask questions, and they're going to ask the why question. Why do you live like this? Why do you talk like this? Why do you go to church? Why do you involve yourself in Christian and religious practices? So there's two parts to the why. We need to be understanding that we tell people who we are by conversation and behavior, and we need to back that up and be able to explain our why. So it's not just showing them why, it's explaining to them the why. Now, you need to live your life as a light for Christ. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Jesus gives us instruction, let that light, His presence, His Spirit, the life change you've been given, let that shine before men for this purpose, that they may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They need to see your good works, see your behavior, see what you're doing, and that will be a reflection of the influence of your life being Christ. But to say that that is the extent of your discipling, simply showing your actions and showing your behavior, that's only part of the process. It's pretty short-sighted if you just say, I'm going to live my life showing people who Jesus Christ is. That's a part of it, but not all of it. Effective discipling, it also imparts the reasons for believing in and living for Jesus Christ. So it's not just showing the why, it's having the ability to explain the why. Now, I'm going to ask you that question. Can you explain why you do what you do? Can you explain why you don't do certain things and why you do certain things? Are you able to explain why you worship Jesus Christ or who Jesus is? Why baptism is essential? Why church attendance is essential? Why faith is even important? These are all parts of the why that we need to explain that goes beyond simply our actions. 1 Peter 3:15 is a very familiar scripture for us. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Have an explanation for why you do what you do. So explaining the why is the powerful part. Living the why, it'll generate conversation. Living the lifestyle gets people's attention. But when it moves from just living it to explaining it, then you begin to whet the appetite of faith and you're able to get the word and get influence into their lives. So explaining the why means we're committing ourselves to better understand what makes us a true disciple. Knowing how to explain who we are and what we are requires us to spend time with God and reading His Word. In doing those two things, it sends our confidence in Christ and in our faith through the roof. I'll be the first to tell you that when I'm prepping for a Bible study, it's funny, right now my wife, she's outside on the deck reading a home Bible study chart right now, because in an hour and 50 minutes, we go online with a girl to teach her a Bible study. When you are teaching someone the Word of God, it makes you sharpen your own sword. It brings this level of accountability that you need to know what you believe in so you can explain that to somebody else who can get faith in that and get the life change they need. That's explaining the why. The why explained is life change. I'm so thankful that many of our Christian young people can look the part, live the part, talk it, but can you explain it? I really hope that's driving some conviction and some just some change into your spirit, that you want to know what it is you believe and explain it to the best of your ability. So, can you explain it? Because it's tough to teach someone something when you've never looked at it yourself. That does not mean that you have to know everything from Genesis to Revelation. Not at all. It does mean that you should have a grasp on the basic claims of faith that we all should know, and you should be able to understand them to some extent, hopefully. Believe it or not, you probably already know enough to start discipling someone right now. You have an experience with God, check. A pastor who can help guide your life and offer resources, check. A church family who can help be an example and lift you up in prayer and accountability in your personal growth, check, check. And as you grow, so will the one you're leading. So you have all the necessary pieces of the puzzle in place. You can do this. You can create disciples. You have a network. You have access to good resources, a church family, a pastor, a leader who will help guide you. You might not know everything, but I sure hope you know something to share to someone. And if you don't, now's a great time to let that conviction you feel in your heart move you to a place that says, I need to know more of my Bible, more of who I'm serving, more of my God, more of my experience, so I can be the right disciple maker I can be. So, and when you start the process with someone, it has this way of generating such an accountability to wanting to know more and to be better. You're going to come up against people who have questions that you might not have the answer to. Don't let that frighten you. Take that in confidence that they're asking you questions that are important, and it gives you a reason to follow up with them. Never say, I don't know and I can't tell you. Say, you know what? I don't quite know the answer to that fully, but I'm going to find out and I'm going to get you the answer. You've created follow-up with them. Don't let limited information keep you from locking down someone in a Bible study or furthering their walk with God. But being a disciple maker, it really has to become a part of who you are. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Almost all of you watching this video would raise your hand and say that making disciples is important. I would say that. You probably would too. Making disciples is very much important. You might even say it's a part of your belief. And sometimes when we say, yeah, I believe that, it pacifies us and we feel okay. We believe it's important, so our hearts and minds must be in the right place because we feel it's right. Not completely. There is something stronger than a belief, and that is a value. You can believe something, but not have value in it. A lot of people believe in exercise. A lot of people believe in eating healthy. A lot of people believe in saving money. But those same people don't exercise, eat junk, and spend every penny they get. They believe it's good, but their values dictate otherwise. Let's take exercise for example. You believe that a daily 3K run and 25 minutes of calisthenics would do you so good, but it would mean cutting into other parts of your day, maybe your morning. Ooh, wait, cut back my morning, but Paul, I need my sleep. You can't get me up in the morning to go exercise. I've got to get my sleep. No. What about that workout after school or after work and after supper? Man, that made me hold up. I got plans with friends. Or I have burned myself out today. I am so drained. I just got to have some me time. I got to veg and take it easy. I've had such a long day. I deserve that. But you believe in exercise, but it doesn't have the same value as sleep, your friends, or your time to chill. When it becomes a value, you make room for it, and you will not want to sacrifice it out of your life. Value is stronger than belief. When your beliefs become your values, hear that today, then things happen for you and for those in your circle of influence. When discipling becomes a value, you will make it a priority. So here's the question. How do I start valuing discipling? Here's a very basic approach. Think of that one person who inspires you to be better. Maybe you have a name right now. Close friend, family, a pastor. There are certain elements of their character you admire. That person whose worship inspires you, their prayer life moves you, their testimonies of how they've seen God work in other people's lives. They burden you. You want to know how to get inspired to value discipling? Get around someone who does it. Talk to them. Get them to pray over you. Pick their brain. They love people. They won't have any problem sharing with you some values to help you become a disciple maker. But it has to go beyond, I think it's a good idea. I believe in it. It has to get to a point where you ultimately value it. So in ending this tonight, thanks for your time and attention. Hope it's been beneficial to you. I know it was a very quick overview. Fly by if you would. But in the conclusion of this, I want to talk about this last verse of scripture. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can't wait for disciples to come to you or the lost to come to you. Faith has feet. In Matthew 28:19, the very first word in the verse is go. Now, sometimes we refuse to go because we have fewer answers than we'd like to have. Unknowns and maybe some concerns. Listen, don't wait till you have all the answers because you wait forever. Go. Find someone. You're an influencer. Someone watches you, someone looks at you, maybe a close family member, maybe a friend, but go share life with them, be their friend, share Christ with them, laugh with them, cry with them. get into their life, commit to a process without end. Without end. Don't put a deadline upon disciple making. I made reference to my pastor in our opening tonight. He was my pastor for 21 years, still is my pastor today. I want to tell you something. I still look to him for advice and counsel. And I'll watch from a distance things he does and I'll incorporate them into my life. The disciple-making process never ends, and never quits. Don't put a deadline on it. Allow God to use your life to influence somebody else's life. Pray it's a value. Pray it a part of your spiritual system that you will reach one and you'll disciple that one. And you watch what God does with that. Thank you for hearing me out. God bless you. And I hope you're all safe and well. And I'm looking forward to hearing great reports of what God does in your life in the future. God bless.
And that is Brother Paul Thoren again on the importance of making disciples. If you have enjoyed this episode, I would like to ask you to share this podcast with someone or give us a rating. We would like to inspire more people to reach out, to make disciples, and to lead for the cause of Jesus Christ. Hope you have a great day, and God bless, and we will look forward to the next month's episode.